Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 4th, 2019, Evangelist John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
EP320. What does that mean? Those who have been involved with Family Weekend Bible Blast know what EP320 is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's on the front cover. That's our Bible verse for the weekend. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. EP320. You'll hear more about that later, I think. Family Weekend Bible Blast. What a blast we've had so far. On Friday, we gather to enter this Mars outpost and go to the planet of truth in order to learn about the great miracle of God protecting Daniel in the lion's den. We went and saw what it means to have faith. Yesterday, we came again to the Mars outpost, and we went to the planet of courage to learn what it means to be bold in our faith with the story of Queen Esther. And then, shock of all shocks, yesterday afternoon, what do? We go to another planet, the planet of kindness, in order to learn about planet of love, in order to find out what it means to be kind. Based on the story of the what? The Good Samaritan. Who would have thought that? That the reading chosen for this gospel for this day would actually be the story that we shared with our children and the adults yesterday. The Good Samaritan story is well known, but I think it does have some misconceptions. Some would say that the story of the Good Samaritan means that God is trying to teach us how to be like a good person. That's not it. Others would say, well, the story of the Good Samaritan is to say that if you try hard enough like the Good Samaritan, you get to earn heaven. Hogwash. That's not it either. So what is the story of the Good Samaritan all really about? It's about God's love and what it means to be a neighbor like yourself, loving your neighbors yourself. So as we look at these words that you heard me read earlier, we're going to ask ourselves that question, who is my neighbor? And we're going to take a moment to see what it means to be loving your neighbor as yourself. The expert in the law thought he had all the answers, but he did not. He wanted to see, well, maybe there's more laws to be added besides the Old Testament laws that God gave to Moses in Mount Sinai. So he asked Jesus, is there more that I need to do to make myself right with God besides the laws that I know I've already kept? And Jesus said, well, what is the law? And the expert in the law gave quite a nice summary of God's law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this and you will live. Piece of cake, right? Just keep all of my commandments that you have given to me, that I've given to you. Keep all those commandments perfectly, 100% of the time, every second of your life, and you get to enjoy eternal life with me in heaven. Do this and you will live. That had to hurt him, the expert in the law. That had a cut to his heart. Because he thought he was doing a pretty decent job, but he cannot do that perfectly, nor can you or me. And so he needs to ask himself, what does it mean, this term neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells us what it means to be your neighbor as he tells us how we love our neighbor as ourselves. You know the story. The Jewish man is attacked, robbed, left for half dead. Two religious men walk right past him and on the other side to avoid him. And the Samaritan walks in on the case, on the situation, and he's asking himself, well, should I just do the same thing, walk on the other side? No, he does not do that at all. He reaches out in compassion to this man who's been left for half dead. It says in our text that he felt sorry for the man. Loving your neighbors yourself, first of all, means to love even your enemies. Because if you remember from your Bible history, the Samaritans and the Jews clashed, hated each other. But the Lord says, even love your enemies. Is that easy to do? Your enemy might be, unfortunately, your fellow coworker or boss who's always nagging at you because you're not doing things the way they think you should be doing it. It might be that person that says hurtful words to you. Maybe it's that classmate who teases you and calls you names as you're on the playground and the teacher can't hear those words. Maybe it's the insults you hear from your neighbor next door. And the Lord says to love your enemy means not even to have an ounce of joy or satisfaction when something bad happens to your enemy, the one who hurts you with their words or their actions. Not an ounce of joy or satisfaction when something happens to their life that's a failure or a concern for their health. Well, have we done that? I don't think so. I know I haven't done that perfectly. I have not loved my neighbor as myself when I look at the enemies that are around me and attacking me because of my Christian faith, because they have a different viewpoint. I'm just as guilty as the expert in the law, as guilty as you. I have not loved my enemy as myself. And in case you're thinking that Jesus is not talking about our enemies here, remember what he said four chapters earlier. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Only one loved his enemy as himself. As he's marching to that cross, he's being betrayed with a kiss, and he begs him to show a sign of repentance before this happens, and it's too late. Only one shouts out on a tree, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Only one loved his neighbor and his enemy as himself. We can keep on going. Loving your neighbors yourself is not just about loving your enemy. It also means showing love to those who maybe don't quite have the same gifts of charity as you do. I mean, we like to compare ourselves to others, don't we? I mean, I did such a great job in taking some of my belongings and donating them to our fundraiser down in Rome back in Memorial Day weekend as my gift of charity. That's good enough. I shouldn't have did more than some. Is that how the Samaritan in our story dealt with this situation? Did he say, well, I'm at least not going to pass by on the other side. I mean, that Jewish pig over there certainly doesn't deserve it. But no. He went beyond reaching out in charity. He could have said to himself, well, this donkey, I'm kind of tired from my journey. I need to use this donkey to get back to the next town. Instead, he donated the donkey for this injured man, half dead. He used his own wine and spices to help take care of the wounds. He went so far as to guide him to that inn and promised to take care of him over the night, despite the dangerous situation they might have been in. No, we have not loved our neighbors ourselves when we think about the charity we've given and how we have not necessarily seen ourselves as on par with others, or they're not on par with us. Only one has. Only one was willing to be the one to show that great love as he became poor so that we might become rich. Only one left his heavenly throne in order to come into this world in order to give us the true love that we need, the true richness that we have to enjoy by the gift of faith in Jesus. Loving your neighbors yourself also means loving your friends. Does that sound kind of obvious? But is it always that easy? We just had that horrific storm come through here, which caused a lot of electricity power outages for days, trees down, homes damaged. Many of you likely helped out borrowing your wheelbarrow or rake or chainsaw or whatever else it might have been to help and assist. But doesn't it come time when you say enough is enough? I helped my friends long enough. It's time to move on. I got other things to take care of in my life. Or take on any other scenario where you've given up on your friends because they just don't seem to deserve it anymore. Only Jesus loved even his friends perfectly all the time. So then what is this story of the Good Samaritan really all about? To love your neighbors yourself is to realize that I have completely failed my God. So that's what it's all about. Acknowledging my worthlessness, my sin, and laying it all before the feet of Jesus. Only Jesus loved his neighbors himself, even his enemies, and yes, his friends. So without further ado, we recognize that this story is not about how I can love my neighbors myself in order to compare myself with others, in order to gain myself a rich reward in heaven. Loving my neighbors myself is to acknowledge that Jesus did it all. Only Jesus loved his neighbors himself. We're in the Mars outpost later this morning. We're going to go to one more planet. We're going to hear about the promise of Jesus' resurrection as he visits the Emmaus disciples. And we find hope. What is hope? Is it, I hope it's okay that the rains don't come for the picnic today? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about perfect confidence and extreme joy and satisfaction for knowing that our Lord God has given us a new hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what ignites a flame in our hearts to love our neighbors ourselves. That's what regenerates our hearts to be moved by the love Jesus first showed to us and also proclaim that loving attitude toward our neighbor. We won't be perfect, not on this side of heaven, but our Lord God has given us a command to follow his love with that perfect kind of love, to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.